The most effective lie that Satan has for any of us is this: God doesn't love you. Man, that's an effective lie, isn't it? I mean, is there an easier lie to believe? That God doesn't love us? For whatever reason, you know, Satan doesn't even have to give us the reason, right? Because it's already in the back of our minds. And so, you know, this Advent week is about love. I want to share this with you because Scripture is abundant with the examples of the kind of love that God has for us. So let me share this. You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis, there's this powerful, powerful scene where Abraham's getting ready to die. And Isaac is yet to have a wife. And Abraham sends his servant. He says, I want you to go back to my home country, where my relatives are. I want you to go back there and find a wife for Isaac. And, you know, in our day and age, that sounds a little weird, right? And but this is how these things took place. And, you know, the servant says, what if I can't find anybody? And the first thing Abraham says was, promise me that you won't find a woman among the Canaanites for my son to marry. I want you to go back to where my people are. I want you to find a woman there. And so it's this thrilling story. I do not have time to preach it. He goes, he finds the woman, they travel back, and then this is how this chapter ends. This is Genesis 24. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. That I was waiting for you all to say, oh, no, forget it. This is so powerful because this is such an example of God's love. Can you imagine Isaac and Rebekah in marriage counseling? Well, when we got married, I mean, we really didn't know each other. And the counselor saying, well, you know, no, literally, we didn't know each other, right? His mother had just died, right? So it was a traumatic event. It's always a horrible time to get married or make some kind of decision like that, right? They could have every excuse in the world for their marriage not to work. But here's the interesting thing. I love how the Bible says it, that she became his wife. And what was his response to her being his wife? Come on, this will be interactive. He loved her. Some of you are looking at me with puzzling looks. I mean, this is puzzling, isn't it? Because the kind of love we're most familiar with is a conditional love, right? So if somebody said, why do you love Mildred? And that's not my grandmother, that's my wife. People say, why do you love Mildred? You know, I've got these reasons why I love her, right? And it's almost as if to say, if it weren't for those things, then I wouldn't. Why do you love your friends? And we have these reasons why we love them. Well, the picture God has given us in Genesis is a picture of his love. You see, Isaac loved Rebekah because that's what a husband does. Period. That's what a husband does, right? She became his wife. And he loved her. And so many times a relationship that God has with us, he compares it to marriage, right? We see that in Ephesians. We see that in several places in the Scripture. So listen, if you're a married man here tonight, listen up. You're supposed to love your wife. Period. Right? And you might be thinking, she doesn't deserve it. Wow, I'm getting really weird looks. You ought to be standing here. And we kind of think like that, don't we? And aren't we like that in marriage, right? Or in any kind of relationship, even with friendships, right? That so much of it's conditional. And God paints this extraordinary picture of what his kind of love is like. And so Rebekah becomes the wife of Isaac, and Isaac loves her. Period. There are no conditions. He loves her because that's what a husband is supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you, tonight, I really want you to hear this. If you're a follower of Jesus tonight, I want you to embrace this truth that God loves you. Period. He loves you. His love is not conditional. You know, because for me, a lot of times, if I mess up, guess what I automatically feel like happens? God withholds his love from me. That's how I feel. But now, that's a lie. Because God doesn't do that. Because if that's the way it was, in essence, who's in control of God's love? We are. And let me set the record straight for you and for me. I am not in control of God's love, and you are not in control of God's love. God is in control of God's love. And he loves his children. And he doesn't withhold his love from his children. And so when Satan whispers in your ear that God doesn't love you, you remember Satan doesn't control God's love. You don't control God's love. That God controls it, and he doesn't withhold his love from his children. Now, listen, the serpent is still crafty, right? It's not just like necessarily a constant whisper, but it's always at the right time when we are most vulnerable to hearing that lie. That's when he comes in. I mean, think about this. When's the last time you really messed up? I mean, really messed up. What time was it today? Go ahead. He said noon. I saw you. You're right. No, I'm kidding. You know, I think back to that time, man, when I just blew it. And then it's Satan saying, you know what? God's done with you. God doesn't love you. Yeah, you'll go to heaven and all that stuff. But you know what? God's done being good to you. God's done loving you. And man, I buy into that. And I believe that lie so much. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I don't hear one page turning. Not one. 1 John 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Now let's look at this, okay? Let's look at this verse. How great is the love? And so obviously, you know, he's going to links here to say, man, the Father loves his children, right? How great is the love that the Father has what? Let's all say it together. Lavished. Now tell me what tense that's in. I don't even know if I'm saying the right thing. Yeah, that's what I was going for. It's past tense, isn't it? So what's the implication? It doesn't say how great is the love that the Father might lavish on the children. Wouldn't that stink if it said that? Because we'd all be saying, so what do I got to do so that will be lavished? But it doesn't say that. It says how great is the love the Father has lavished. What does that mean? What does that imply? He's already done it. He's already lavished his love on his children. He's already done it. Right? I mean, I quote this verse probably just about every time I preach, that God has demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think something we're guilty of as Christians is we kind of look past Christmas, right? And we've got all the reasons why. We hate the commercialization of Christmas, right? We hate that it's all about stuff. And, you know, I can't help what the world has done with Christmas. And a lot of Christians just kind of gloss over Christmas and say, well, Easter is the real holiday when Jesus died. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. If there hadn't been a Christmas, there wouldn't be an Easter. Emmanuel, God with us. He has come to us, and that is, listen, it's powerful that he's died for us. No question about that. But the incarnation, that he has come to us, that he came to us, that is a powerful thing. And I believe what the Bible teaches is that he came to us while we were sinners, right? He didn't say like the world says or like we do in marriage or like we do with friendships. Hey, if you straighten up, I'll be your friend. If you act right, I will love you. You know, if you treat me right, I'll treat you right. I mean, that is so the way of this world. And yet God's love is all about that Rebecca became his wife and he loved her. That Jesus has come to us. that he has lavished his love on us. He's already done it. He's already lavished us with his love. You are loved, and you can't change that. You can't change it. Now, no doubt, there's going to be somebody upset. They're going to write on Facebook or something. They're going to email me, and they're going to say, well, it sounds like you're just saying you can do whatever you want, and God's still going to love you. Let me be clear. That is exactly what I'm saying. There are consequences for sin. Are you with me? Raise your hand if you agree with that. There are consequences for sin. I'm not telling you to go live it up and have a big party till Jesus comes back, because I'm going to promise you this, you'll be miserable if that's what you do. Because we don't have that joy in sin. But I want you to be clear and certain of one thing tonight, and that's this. The Father has already lavished his love on his children. He's already done it. It's not something you earn. It's not something you work towards. It's not something that if you mess up, then you have to make it right to get that love. He's already done it. Some of you tonight struggle with this message because you don't want to believe it. The pride within us makes us want to work to earn God's love. And so we had a bad year in 2010. Guess what? In 2011, I'm going to be a part of every First Connection event. I'm going to do all the oil changes. You know, I'm going to the laundromat and help do laundry. And I'm going to give away, you know, food to people that need. And in 2011 will be the year that I earn God's love. And you can't. You cannot earn something that is freely given. Let me save you some time. In 2011, you can't earn God's love. And you can't repay for what you've done that's been bad. You are forgiven. Live in that forgiveness. Live in that love. I said, I don't know, several months ago, and I probably got thousands of emails after I said it. Maybe six. But I said that we are the most unforgiving people. And you know why we're not forgiving? Because we go through seasons where we don't feel like we're truly forgiven. And we feel like we have to earn that forgiveness, right? And when you're in the business of earning your forgiveness, you're not very forgiving yourself. Why? Why? If you think you have to earn forgiveness, why are you not forgiving? Say it. That's it. I wanted somebody to say it. I think you said it. If you're wrong, I'm so sorry. What? If I'm going to forgive them, they got to earn my forgiveness just like I have to earn God's. They wronged me. They must make it right. But that's not the love of God, right? Because he died for us while we were still sinners. And so his expectation of our forgiveness is that we forgive people whether they tried to make amends or not, whether they said they're sorry or not, whether they take blame or not. We're supposed to forgive because it's in that same way that God has forgiven us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So if you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus, then we are sons and daughters of God. And how much does a parent love a child, right? I mean, if you're a good parent, there's nothing you wouldn't do for those kids. Your kid may be a bum, right? And you'll whip anybody that calls that kid a bum. But now you can, right? But then nobody else. That's my kid. Now you're going to get a whooping, right? And however much I think I love my kids, and I love my kids a whole bunch, and however much I think I love them, doesn't come close to the love that God has for his children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Isn't that interesting? I mean, how many of you maybe you really struggle, I'll say out there, Yeah, I mean, you're out there, you're in the workplace, you know, and you go to the stores. I mean, you do all this thing, and it just seems like there's just people that just don't connect with you. Maybe somebody at your work can't stand you, right? And maybe you've worked hard so that they could stand you. You know, and you've tried to be nice, and you've tried to be polite, and no matter what you do, they just don't like you. Anybody? Raise your hand. I want to know how many. Okay, yeah, wow. Wow, I don't like most of you raising your hand either, but that was a joke. People are crying right now. They're unfriending me on their iPhone. No, you're not, because I didn't friend you to begin with. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's awful. I know. I'm sorry. It's mean. I hate Facebook. All right, let's just keep preaching. Now, here's the thing. This verse makes so clear what a lot of us go through, right? Because they don't love the Father. They're not going to love the children of the Father. I mean, doesn't that just make sense, right? Is there somebody you can't stand that has kids? Would you attempt to lie to me tonight, right here, Wednesday night worship on the Wednesday of love? And tell me that if for somebody you can't stand, you don't have a little animosity towards their children as well? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see it. Those are the brave people, or maybe the only honest people in the room, you know? Because, and those poor kids haven't done anything, right? They haven't done anything. I remember our last church, there was a guy that couldn't stand me, and he was so mean to one of my kids. And you know what? You can be mean to me. I'm a big boy, right? And I'll get over it. But man, don't be mean to my kid, right? Just because you don't like me, just get off my kid, you know? This is what this verse is talking about. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. How many of you are kind of thankful for that? Just several of you? It's like, I am so thankful for that. Because you know what that means? There's hope, right? I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror, but I know what I see. And I praise God for this. We're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. That he's still doing a work in our lives. He's still doing a work in our hearts. That who I am right now is not who I am going to be, because he's still working on me. And I'm going to tell you, I know that shocks most of you, that he's still working on me. Most of you, or maybe not. Maybe you're like, yeah, here you go. But he's still doing a work, right? Because I'll tell you this about me. Forgiveness is an issue that I have to work on, right? And that work's not going to be done unless God's doing that work in me. And he's still making me more like Christ. And he's still filling my heart with more love and more forgiveness and more mercy and more compassion, right? Because, you know, my wife's not here tonight. And that's why I can boldly proclaim that Isaac loved his wife. Because that's what husbands do, right? But guess what? Man, it's an area God's still working on in my life and in my heart. Because what we will be has not yet been made known, that he's still working on us, right? Because if this was it, how many of you would be thrilled if God was done and sitting here is the end result? Would anybody be happy about that? Please don't raise your hand. There's always like three people. Oh, really? What'd he say? He said, if you're an idiot, raise your hand. Man, I'm glad God's not done with me. I'm glad that he's still doing a work in my heart, in my life, because I'm going to tell you, I'm in need of him to do that work. And so this is so powerful, but we know, listen to what he says here, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think that's the point of the message tonight, to see him as he is, right? To understand the love that the Father has for us. Now, I don't know why, and I guess it would be possible if you've been coming on Wednesday nights for the last couple months, it just seems like Several of the passages we've covered have been about the love of God. And it's possible you may leave here and say, all he talks about is the love of God. You know, I want to hear about wrath. It's there too, all right? And it just so happens in these passages. But here's the thing. I don't have a problem with that because I think God's trying to speak to us. And I think God's trying to tell us something about himself. Because let me tell you about the wrath of God. You can't comprehend the wrath of God if you don't understand the love of God. There's no way. And I think God is trying to tell us something tonight about the love that he has for us. And in no way, I hope I've been clear, in no way could you leave here and just say, man, I can just do whatever I want and because it doesn't matter. I didn't say it doesn't matter in your life as a follower of Jesus. What I'm saying is God's love is unconditional and he will always love you. I can't think of the thing that one of my kids could do that would make me say, I don't love you anymore. Listen, I might throw them out of the house, right? And I may not help them if they keep coming back and back for help because of their own stupid mistakes. But I will never say, I don't love you. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on his children? And this passage, I think, is significant and important because this verse says that God has already lavished his love upon us. He's already done it. It was done a long time ago. And so there's no way you can earn his love. There's no way you can repay for bad things you've done. He has already lavished his love upon you. And this is a word for somebody tonight who is struggling right now as you listen to the whispers of the enemy tell you, how in the world could God love you? I mean, some of you are struggling just sitting here tonight. Because the enemy, after I've told you what the enemy is telling you and the enemy's heard me tell you what the enemy is already telling you, then the enemy says, he's talking about everybody else. Because nobody in here has done what you have. And there's some of you here tonight, and you don't know the rest of these people, and you think that might be true, that you're the one who's done the worst thing. And so you can just listen to this sermon. You can just hear these passages of Scripture and be happy to say, that's for everybody else because I've really blown it. If you're a follower of Jesus and you deny that the Father has lavished his love on you, you're calling God a liar. You're telling God that what he says is not true. Because he says, I've already lavished my love upon you. I've already done that. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let me explain that and we'll be done. Because this is a little confusing, I think. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, an improper understanding of that is that you and I purify ourselves. And that's not what he's talking about. You see, it's the hope that we have. It's beginning to believe, if you've struggled with this, it's beginning to believe that God loves you. And it is okay if you say, well, if God loves me, he loves me in spite of me. That's absolutely true. God loves me in spite of me, right? He doesn't, and this is hard, and I think this will take the romanticism out of it, but it's the truth. And that's this: God doesn't love me because of me. God loves me because of who he is. Why did Isaac love Rebecca? Was it because of Rebecca? No, he didn't even know her. He loved her because that's what a husband does. And God loves us in spite of us. And God loves us not because of us, but because of him. Now, I want to share that very significant theological truth with you tonight because I've tried to think of all the things we tell ourselves to convince ourselves that maybe God doesn't really love us right now. And so we've got to change some things, or we got to do this or do that. If you believe that God loves you, not because of you, but because he's God, and that's what he does, right? Because I think it's 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And that's what God does. God loves. And if God loves you, not because of you, but because of who he is, then you can't change God's love. If God loves you because of you, maybe we do have some control over it. Maybe I do have God on a drawstring and I can pull him back and forth. But God doesn't love us because of us. God loves us because of himself. That's what he does. He loves us, right? We're going to have a time of invitation. And I've been saying this whole night, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, these things are true. And tonight, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to know this. That the Bible has said that God loves, that God forgives. And if you're here tonight and you've never invited Christ to come into your life, I want you to know it all began before the beginning of time as we know it. But especially some 2,000 years ago, in a manger laid the King of the world, right? And Mary rocked this baby, and you know what's the song say? And when she kissed the little baby, she kissed the face of God. That God came to us. And God came to us because we were sinners, right? And the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us were sinners. And I don't care to what degree you think you were a sinner, if you think you're the worst, or you think that you did okay, but you know you're a sinner. I don't even care. We are sinners. And we were in need of God's grace, because there's no way you and I could be at peace with God on our own accord, right? So God came to us. And Christmas is about the incarnation. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. And of course, we know that he would live some, 33 years. And then he would die on the cross and his blood would be shed so that our sin could be forgiven. If you're here tonight and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that he died on the cross, right? And you know that you're a sinner, and there was something within you tonight that made you think, I need Jesus in my life. I want to tell you what that something is. It's God. Because you'd never want God unless God came to you. We would never want him. We would never desire him. We're going to have a time of altar. And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you know that you have a desire to have him in your life, I just want to tell you, that's him working in your life right now. And there's going to be people come and pray at this altar. So those of you, please come and pray. And if you want to know more about having a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to come. There'll be pastors down here. We'd love to talk with you, to pray with you. Some of you are here. You know you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. And man, that's a big deal around here. Biblical baptism, which is baptism after your conversion, after Christ comes into your life and forgives your sin. Some of you haven't done that. There's going to be a whole lot of people do that here in a couple days at our 3 Christmas Eve services. And I'd love to talk to you about that. And then let me say this. Some of you are here and you know you're saved, you've been baptized, but you've really struggled with this whole, does God love me? Does God love me like he used to love me because I've done bad things? I just want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. I want you to come to the altar and see God for who he really is. That his love isn't based upon us. That his love is based upon him. And come to this altar and say, Lord, forgive me, because I've been trying to earn your love. I've been trying to win back your favor. And I'll pray that you come to this altar and God, you just feel God wrap his arms around you. And know that you are loved. Yeah, maybe there's things going on in your life that don't need to be going on. You know what? The Holy Spirit will show you those things. The Holy Spirit will show you the things that are hindering that relationship. But there are no things preventing God from loving you or stopping God's love. That relationship gets hindered because of those things. Bring those things to the altar tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the truthfulness of your word. God, I thank you that Isaac loved Rebekah because she was his wife. And then in that same way, you love us because we're your children. Lord, I pray for those here tonight that don't know you, that don't have a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would save them tonight. Lord, I pray for those who just go back and forth and wonder if you love them. Does he love me? Does he love me not? Lord, I pray you just reveal that love to them in a way, Father, that overcomes those fears and those doubts that they have. I pray you'd wrap your arms around some people tonight, Lord, who are struggling with whether or not you really love them. Lord, thank you that you have already lavished your love on your children. Be glorified here, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open. I'm not going to hold it long. If you know you need to come, let me invite you just to come now. And if you need to talk to a pastor, Pastor Jeff's over here. I'm over here. We would love to talk to you. Please come.